New Line Cinema proudly presents A Little Holiday Story. One Christmas Eve, Santa Claus got an unexpected gift of his own.
What in the name of Sam Hill?
30 years later...
Let's recite the code of the elves, shall we?
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Buddy's discovering who he really is.
You're not like the rest of us. I was sure when you cracked 6 feet that it would come up.
My bad.
You're not an elf.
Now, he's taking a journey to find the family he's never known in a place where he finally fits in.
Boy.
And nothing's going to stop him.
Sorry, your car's pretty.
Will Ferrell is Elf.
Hey, what's your name?
Does someone need a hug?
Nutcracker!
Catch the holiday spirit.
Just trying to hug you!
Insert obnoxiously long, loud burp here. Did you hear that?
Does that play in the trailer or just in general in the show?
You know, I need to start actually watching the trailer before we actually record our episode, because I always watch it right as I'm putting it into the episode. And yeah. So I would think, I don't know, that might be a little too aggressive for it.
I think it'll just be the Santa's coming. That's definitely in the trailer.
Yes, that has to be. Oh, that's my favorite reaction. My favorite acting in the movie is going to be during that scene. Yeah, we are here on the path. Talk about some movies good, some movies bad. I don't think I sound too bad. I have a little bit. I have a little bit of a frog, but I think I've cleared it out by now. I am cough medded up.
Uh-oh. So what are you drinking?
I am drinking Powerade.
Powerade. Good choice. Good
Powerade,
choice.
Powerade, because they were $1.25 and the Gatorades are $2, and I'll be goddamned if I pay $2 for a Gatorade.
I am drinking a cup of tea in my brand new Gwent mug that we got in Warsaw.
The Gwent mug, that is my school mug now that I use.
It's a good one.
It's a good size. So yeah, so even more than usual, I will probably say things wrong. I'll be a little bit loopy in that sense. So I take no responsibility for whatever I say over the next hour and a half to 2 hours.
It's on me.
It is on you. All right. There is not much really to go over beforehand. You know, as usual, email us podonthepath@gmail.com, patreon.com/onthepath. Find more from us there. There you go. On the Path Discord, all the social links below. I did actually just remember that, and this isn't something we did, but it's something we're trying to do. Apparently, if you go to the site, we used to be Anchor, now it's Spotify for podcasts, the main site that we'll put down there. Y'all can now leave us voice messages.
Oh my God, that's right. I was out one day last week and I kept getting emails saying, "There, you have a new voice message on your podcast." And I was like, what? But
the
I couldn't,
hell?
I wasn't in a position to listen to them. But then I saw you guys talking about it in Discord. That's so much fun. I saw a couple people leave voice notes in Discord now too, which I didn't know was a thing. Love hearing from you guys. If you're comfortable leaving a voice message with a review or with a request or a question or something like that, I'd love to hear them. They're so much fun.
Yes, and we'll just say, and we probably should put that in there, if you do choose to leave a voice message, throat just attacks me. If you do choose to leave one of those, let it be understood that we may put it on here. Okay,
yes.
So if you want to just leave like a comment or review or something that you don't want, just email us.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point to make.
Yeah, if it's in there, we may put it there, depending on what it is, of course not. the late night drunk ones I will be most excited to see about. So yes, make sure to check that out. It's right there. It should be right there on the episode page, like there, so it should be pretty easy to find.
I need to go and figure it out myself. I haven't had a look yet.
I could not do it from my phone. When
I
tried earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. That seems like the place you would leave a voice note from.
You would think so. We'll have to work on that. But all right, let's get into it. We haven't even said what the fuck we're covering. But again, everyone sees it on. This is 2003's Elf. So first up here, We're going to guess the gross, or I should say Lucy is going to guess the box office gross, the worldwide box office gross, which was budgeted, this movie was budgeted at $33 million.
I think this was a massive success, not only when it released, but ongoing. It's, you know, it's a classic. Everybody watches it even to this day. But in terms of what it grossed at the box office.
The box office. Now you're talking like a New Yorker.
Yeah, I love it there. $33 million is the budget. Yep. I'm going to say $300 million.
$225.1 million, which is still
okay.
Massive.
I overshot it a little bit.
You did, but still, 2003, 20 years ago, $225 million off a $33 million budget. Yes, was a huge, huge success. As a matter of fact, as I saw in the trivia, Will Ferrell, and I'm going to say Will Ferrell because the former strength coach at the college I coached at was from Huddersfield.
Oh.
Yeah, in Yorkshire, and he called him Will Ferrell. And I laughed and kept repeating it as a joke, and now I say Will Ferrell. So, again, apologies for all of that. It says here he turned down $29 million for a sequel in 2014.
Really?
$29 million he turned it down. Yeah, and there's another thing.
What was his reasoning, I wonder?
His reasoning was it would have just ruined it. Like,
right,
He might have done one before I can remember. I do know, I think the only sequel he's ever done, and it was a big deal when he did it, was Anchorman 2.
That was a big deal, and they made a massive deal out of that movie. Like, every fucking person was in that movie.
Which was so weird because, like, why? Like, Step Brothers is another one that he could have got $1 billion for. Old school to do that. I think that was 03 also. That might have been the
Blades
same
of Glory.
Year. That movie sucked.
I fucking love Blades of Glory. It's so stupid.
Nobody wants a sequel to that.
It's so good.
At least, like, Ricky Bobby, like Talladega Nights.
I love Blades of Glory.
Moment of silence for Michael Clark Duncan. Okay.
Who's that?
The big dude in Talladega Nights?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Big black guy from that movie. Have you seen the movie?
Which movie?
Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby.
No, I haven't. Okay.
Who's on cough meds? It's like, who's that? Are you trying to mess with me? No. So, yeah, reasoning there was it would just, like, bastardize it, I guess. So, yeah, he's
fair
never.
Fair play to him then.
Yeah. Oh, also saw that him and the director, Jon Favreau, clashed on creative differences.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, Will Ferrell wanted, see, I called him Ferrell. Will Ferrell wanted a more cynical, like PG-13. And I guess the studio and Jon Favreau wanted what we ended up getting, this PG piece-ish. No, I'm kidding. Well,
I read that Jon Favreau wanted it to be a real family film that would, like, stand the test of time, become a classic. And he was right, because it has. It really has.
I guess it has. And stick around to the end for the tier ratings, as always. And I will waver and waver as we go in, because I got a lot to say about this movie. I got a lot to say.
Okay.
All right. So next, let's go to the tomato meter.
Oh, yes. The tomato meter, where Brett guesses the Rotten Tomato critic and audience score. So what the critics had to say about this one: a movie full of Yuletide cheer, Elf is a spirited, good-natured family comedy, and it benefits greatly from Will Ferrell's funny and charming performance as one of Santa's biggest helpers. So what do you think the tomato meter critics scored this one?
I think it's going to be good. And even before that, I thought it was going to be good, but not great, because it's very heavily kid-aimed, I should say, in that there's a lot of dumb shit in here, but Will Ferrell is on his A game. He's bringing that high energy that I guess James Caan,
childlike energy. I love
did
it.
Not
it's
like
so funny. Yeah.
Told him he was going too over the top with it, but then later said he realized it was a good counterbalance to his very understated performance. So long story short, I'm going to say this is going to be chalking in. That's not it. Clocking in. There you go. Clocking in at 72%.
Oh, you've underdone it again at 86.
86? Jesus.
That's the critic score.
Fucking
now, maybe
idiots.
I should have waited to tell you that. What do you think about the audience score?
Okay, so the audience, that's what I was going to guess the audience score, that it was going to be, like, if the critics is there, I always think something like this, the audience is going to be bigger, but now I'm thrown off. I was literally going to put it at about 90, but now, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say 90.
The audience rated this one at 79%.
Okay. So I need to start flipping how I see that. Where I think the audience. Yeah, where I think the audience is higher. Damn it, I should have gone with my second instinct, which is to drop down to the low 80s after I thought it was going to be that.
I always think that the audience would be higher, but in this case, again, it's not that way around.
No, not at all. All right, so there you go. We danced around it, both of us, a little bit under 90. We didn't embarrass ourselves.
No.
Which is the most important thing. All right, so here we go. Let's get on with Elf. Directed by Jon Favreau, not Farvo, which Brett Favre, the quarterback, has the R before the V, even though they spell that the same way, whom I think most people are definitely going to know from Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, yeah, the classic Daniel Craig film.
Harrison Ford.
I mean, it was a hit.
Who wouldn't know that? No, obviously his big thing is going to be Iron Man. He directed Iron Man. He directed Iron Man 2. The Jungle Book, The Lion King, he's Star Wars, Disney, all that shit. He's
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. He's got his claws in Disney deep.
I recognize him as well. There's a lot of directors that don't recognize. Is he from Friends? Like, I just recognized him so much.
I first saw him as Monica's MMA fighting boyfriend on Friends.
Okay. See, I didn't watch Friends, so like that goes past me, but I don't know why I recognize him so much. But if he's been an actor in a few things as well, maybe I've seen him in some stuff.
Swingers was a big one. Him and Vince Vaughn, that was their breakout in 96, that movie. And then he directed. Okay. Swingers is like where Vince Vaughn came up, and Jon Favreau, I think, was like the main, like the first build star in there. So yeah, he's acting in here too. He's the doctor that apparently he lost a lot of weight to play, which is weird because he still looked like a behemoth. I don't know. I didn't. Yeah, it's just like, it would be like, oh, this fit. No, not today. I'm not that.
No,
I'm not
no
that. I'm not that loopy yet. It was written by somebody, David Barenbaum, who
doesn't have many credits to his name.
Yeah. Did you see the movies he wrote? Haunted Mansion, Zoom, Spiderwick Chronicles, and then Strange Magic.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with many of those, but I did see that he was hired to write Mrs. Doubtfire 2, which was obviously cancelled following Robin Williams' death.
Well,
but, yeah.
At least we all dodged that bullet. Okay, that would have been different if it was, yeah. All right, this is a bad start. No, it's a good start. All right, so this movie is only 97 minutes, but 37 of those minutes are montages.
Yes.
This is montaged out.
It is. It's like decorating the store, decorating the house.
Arriving in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they dragged this out.
Yeah, I was thinking that when it started. I was like, okay, it's not that long. I was like, okay, we could cut a lot of this out.
Yeah, this is kind of almost as bare bones, just like the children's books
that
Walter's shilling for there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we start off, I'm not going to make it.
Bless you.
That was a cough, actually. That's not good. When the cough sounds like
I'm just saying
like
bless you regardless.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear you. I don't know if you muted or if your mic didn't. Yeah.
Oh, no. I got a hair trigger on that mute button today. But I noticed that there's times that I'll cough and people are like, oh, bless you. I'm like, oh, no, that was a cough.
I mean, bless you just per you.
In general. There you go.
Yes. All
right, so Buddy is this orphan who stowaways to the North Pole, where Ed Asner, who I think most people know as Master Vruk from Knights of the Old Republic, also...
Yep.
Carl from Up.
Ah.
That's him. Yeah.
I won't watch Up.
You won't watch it again?
I've never watched it.
You haven't?
Nah, don't want to watch it.
Why?
Looks too sad.
It's really just the first 8 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen that bit.
Oh, okay. The movie.
I don't want to watch that bit.
The movie's not sad after that.
Oh. Maybe I should watch it.
Yeah, maybe not. Although, if you. No, it's all right. It's all right. It's a cute movie. So Ed Asner, Sansa, and Bob Newhart, Elf, are in charge. And seeing Bob Newhart, I always remember him from the second Bob Newhart. I think it was just called Newhart. They came up in the 90s. And then Nick at Night, I got to see the reruns. I know he had a huge arc on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I recognized him so much. But when I looked at his filmography and TV history, I don't know... the Newhart show or whatever his show was, in, you know, his big show. But I knew him as this professor from The Big Bang Theory. And he became a bit of a recurring character. I don't know if he was intended to be a recurring character, if people just loved him so much and he became quite a common feature there. But he just played this kind of boring professor, and he spoke very slowly, and
it's
it was
kind
cadence,
of a bit of a,
it was
yes.
his bit that he kind of would stumble, you know, over his words. And it's just, he's so good at it.
Yeah, it's almost a Jeff Goldblum-esque cadence,
where,
yeah, it's just, they kind of just stop, you know, and he talks a bit slower at this time and then builds up like that. So yeah, very distinct. He is still with us. He is rocking at the age of 94.
I wrote still alive, still here at 94, because unfortunately, who's not with us is James Caan.
Oh, man, I love him.
Last year.
I know, and he was like every bad guy in the 90s. It was almost annoying. Yes, because any movie I'd watch in the 90s, it's just, if he was in there, it's like, oh, he's the bad guy. Oh, he's a good guy now? No, he's not going to stay that way.
Okay, he just always turned.
I always did. No, he's awesome. I love him. And I mentioned earlier, he does bring that very much, that counterbalance to Will Ferrell, who, I know, people love this movie, okay? And it's fine. And just because of what I have to say, you can still love it, all right? You can just ignore it and be like, oh, that's just an idiot podcaster who's high on cough meds. Is I've got this DayQuil honey right there I'm holding up that I'm microdosing. No, I'm not microdosing. I'm fucking slamming it. Will Ferrell, his performance in this by the end was so grating and was so goddamn annoying that to me, I know he's playing, and I might have looked this up also, certain things come in. The internet is very clear. He is not autistic.
No.
He is not developmentally disabled. I read a really funny thing that said he was schizophrenic and explained in detail his schizophrenia of hearing voices and seeing narwhals. Mm. Yeah. Good luck finding your dad, buddy. So,
oh, I like the narwhal.
That was a good bit. That was a good bit. But no, a big thing with this is he's a fucking man baby and he's a man child. And this is 2003. So we're about to hit the Apatow. And in another timeline, the R-rated version of this, or at least the PG-13 rated version of this, comes out about 3 or 4 years later, and it's Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Because a man baby of Knocked Up's coming out. I think Knocked Up was what, 05 maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I can never remember movies in 05 if they're 06 or whatnot. And it started this fucking man-child craze of this mid-aughts. But the thing about it is, Buddy never improves. He never matures. Everybody around him learns to be like, maybe I should take things less seriously. Ho, ho, big businessman. I need to pay attention to my family. But he maintains this childlike buffoonery. And by the end, I wanted to just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, I think these films came out at like a perfect time because this is 20 years ago, right? So I was like 10.
Yeah.
And I would have lapped this shit up. Like, I would have fucking loved it. And same goes for all his other films like Anchorman, Blades of Glory, Step Brothers. And I loved them all so much. And I feel like I was the perfect age, I mean, like a teenager that just found his over the top repetitive humor incredibly funny. But I feel like if I watch this now without my nostalgic attachment to it, I would be like, man, this is just annoying. Like, it's grating on me. Like, exactly what you said. But yeah, you're right. I didn't think of it that way, where I was like, you know, Walter learns to overcome his things. Even Jovi learns to overcome her fears and like changes. And yeah, he just stays this giant man elf.
Yeah, and then by the end he has a fucking kid. It's like, that kid does not have a chance. That kid has no chance. No, and I know we're gonna jump around here, and we kind of do that anyway. We try to go in order, but like, one thing I liked was when Buddy had to go to the office with Walter
in his suit and tie.
He's in his suit and he's like, hello madam, I'm blah blah blah, and he pulls him in there and he's there drinking coffee, and it was a great moment where Walter goes, hey, buddy, you don't have to drink that. And he's like, oh, okay, thank you. I'm like, oh, okay, he's trying to be an adult. And they're talking about that, where to go. And then his phone rings, and Buddy fucking lunges into next week to grab it. And he says something. I forgot what it was. So my name's Buddy.
What does he
Goody
say?
Gumdrops, or I don't remember what it is, but he says something.
No, he says, hi, it's Buddy. What's your favorite color?
Yes, it's which. Anybody lunges over him to do it. And I'm like, this dude has a problem. Like, if this was a child, you would discipline them. You would tell them, you cannot act this way. And with this, it's just treated with this, oh, he's just innocent little buddy. It's like, this is not fucking healthy. This guy needs fucking problems. Or this guy needs problems. This guy has problems and he needs help with things. And from that was when the first time I had it, so I was like, this guy's just fucking annoying.
And nobody tries to help him.
No, they're just like, oh, you, he's an elf. Yes.
Yeah, they coddle him, and then they, you know, eventually Walter blows up and tells him to get lost, basically. And I was like, that's not okay either. You need to meet somewhere in the middle.
But then he comes in and he starts calling Peter Dinklage an elf.
That was a jump scare for me, by the way.
When he
I was
came
like,
in, yeah.
Oh my God, because I could see, you could tell that it was like someone with dwarfism or whatever. And I was like, oh, who is this going to be? And I was like, oh my God, it's fucking Peter Dinklage. Of course it is. He's brilliant.
And this is Peter Dinklage, 2003. Another movie he did that came out this year is called The Station Agent. And I think it's very indie, but he was very well received in it. And it's a great movie. I haven't seen it in a long time. Very, very good. And, you know, it's one of those, he just happens to have it, you know. It's not that it was tailored for it, you know what I mean? Like,
his
driving thing isn't that he's, you know, his dwarfism. And I also saw that's a big thing, is Peter Dinklage would not take roles like elves and all that little stuff.
But the Harry Potter ones.
All of that, no. But I know there was, I think it was he's in the MCU, and he plays this dwarf, but he's fucking massive.
Oh.
And I think that was the thing was, you know, I think he has to build a weapon or something for Thor. I don't know. It was one of those fucking fever dreams.
I didn't know he was in the MCU.
Yeah, very small role. But I saw it and I was like, oh, he's kind of playing a dwarf, but he's also fucking like 30 feet tall. So maybe that's why he did it.
Yeah, that was the caveat, I guess. And then obviously Tyrion is just
one of the best he initially, when he was told about it, he's like, no, I'm not playing a fucking dwarf. And then he looked into it and was just like, oh, okay, it's basically like he's being shit on for being a dwarf and he's very intelligent. So that was a good story, too, of him being convinced. Because I also remember George R. R. Martin saying, nobody else can play that but Peter Dinklage. So if he doesn't do it,
cancel the whole thing.
Like, what, like, honestly, like, what are they going to do?
Was it him and Charles Dance that was like the absolute must-haves for George R. R. Martin?
I don't remember.
I feel
if
there was somebody else that was absolutely there. Has to be. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, maybe. I only remember it being Tyrion because obviously you have a smaller pool of actors.
Yes, of course.
All right. So now that we jump to the end, let's go all the way back into the beginning. The clausometer measures the spirit of Christmas and is dangerously low. And I bet that's not going to come back at the end for any reason. Chekhov's clausometer.
That made me sad.
What, the clausometer?
Just that there was no Christmas spirit.
There was no Christmas spirit. No one's believing in Santa. No.
Wow. You know what
we need to get prayer back in school. No. all right. So Buddy is a horrible slave laborer because he can only make 85 Etch-a-Sketches in a day. And
how many hundred? 500 or something?
1,000. Because he was 915 short.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay, yeah.
He should be making 1,000 Etch-a-Sketches a day. And apparently, despite the protests of everyone around him, he is a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
You're going to have to beep that out of the podcast recording, I think.
Well, and just, yeah, I trust me. I said it very clearly to be like, cotton-headed, and who apparently is also special, which I was like, ooh, that's a little that. And he gets sent to where the special elves are sent, testing jack-in-the-boxes.
Yeah, and that is a horrible, horrible job.
Oh, and also, a funny thing there was, those were timed, and Jon Favreau had the timer to, like, surprise Will Ferrell with them.
Yeah, I feel like every time, it felt like a genuine shock to him.
Yeah, this thing is just like, oh, yeah, very good. It was genuine shock, or he was doing it for, like, so long and do it. But, yeah, very good. Mm. Very good there. But Buddy overhears that he is a human, and you know, I'm literally typing down, dude needs to start playing basketball. Oh, there's a montage of him dunking on all the elves.
There is. The montage of him just living life as an elf and being too big for his environment.
I'd like to know what the explanation was. Other people were just like, oh, he's a human and no one's ever going to tell him. What did they tell Buddy? What did they tell him that why he's so goddamn big?
I know. How has he got to... I was trying to figure out how old he was. And at some point, I think the mum says, oh, you just haven't known about him for 30 years? And I was like, he's 30?
I think Will Ferrell is like 33 when this came out.
Okay, well, I think Buddy was supposed to be about 30 years old. So okay, yeah, how has he made 30 years without figuring out that he's a human?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's not the brightest, as we can see.
True.
No, Will Ferrell, when this came out, was 36.
Wow.
I don't like watching these movies and now realizing that I'm older than these people. Because I look at it, I'm just like, I'm not on. Oh shit, he's younger than me. That is not.
I don't think he looks. He always looks older than that to me.
He does, except the thing here is, it's just really like the lines and the like. Yeah. Like most people, it's the lines, it's the wrinkles of the face that are just there. But yeah, he's, you know,
the giveaway.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big dude. You know, he's never really been, you know, in shape in that sense. You know, so he's never been.
He's
like
very tall, isn't he?
I think they said here like 6'3", but I've always thought he was like 6'4", 6'5", and maybe he is. Yeah, 6'3", but he is tall.
He seems like a big dude.
He is tall, and
I really like him in Daddy's Home as well with Mark Wahlberg. That film is insane.
Do you like it?
I like it as like a stupid movie. Yeah.
Okay, because I've definitely not seen that movie.
Yeah,
but I would like to.
It's funny, yeah. Just, you know, Marky Mark.
Oh,
going
I just want to make fun of it. Oh,
Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Oh, and then the second one, Mel Gibson shows up, yes. And I'm like, Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg. Oh, I'm gonna have a fucking field day.
Yeah, it is. They are good fun. They are good fun.
I think I'll hate it so much to get it. We'll have to have a Mark Wahlberg multiple
yes.
months. Like maybe a Mark Wahlberg. Oh, on the other thing, I'm gonna make fun of. I don't want to watch. Unless you have in there. Oh, yeah, the Transformers. We can kind of combine it.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, he finds out that his real dad is in the far off magical land of New York City, which 22 years ago. All right. So his dad. Everyone's about to take their shot. Everyone's about to take their shot. But no. His dad named. Why did I put his dad
Walter.
As name? I have his dad named Ray.
I think no, I might, that's not right.
I think I might have been on that meds last night.
His dad's name is Walter.
Walter. I've been, yeah.
And, yeah, his name is Walter Hobbs, and he is a book publisher for children's books, currently struggling to get a new idea, and worst of all, he's on the naughty list.
Took the words right out of my mouth. And James Caan, the great James Caan, born March 26th.
Oh, that's your birthday.
Same birthday as me. Yeah, Godfather was a big one in there. He played Sonny Corleone, got his ass shot up at the toll booth.
Aww.
And like I said, also from every single villain from the 90s that he played in. But no, James Caan's awesome. Just the talk delivery, so great. He's from the Bronx. Yeah.
Yeah.
80-something years old, too. Oh, man. So good. So good.
R.I.P.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. All right. Said that earlier.
Bye, so Norval.
He gets sent off in these fucking like penguins, and this is a kind of acid trippy.
It's very, the animation's just slightly odd.
It's like stop motion.
Yeah. And it's like they're just trotting along. And I didn't quite get it, but
yeah,
it was fine.
It was fine, but it was just really weird. And that snowman, that like dapper snowman.
Yeah.
Looked
and
like
he's like, at least you have a family. I was just rolled up here. It's like, yeah. Don't make me feel sad for the snowman.
It's like, he's up to no good. Yep. So he heads to New York City.
And of course,
he meets this raccoon as soon as he gets in there, which comically attacks and gives him rabies.
It gives him rabies?
It's a New York City raccoon. It's going to have rabies.
Really?
Of course it is. Everything in New York. Not everything. I would think anything. If anything like feral. Whoa.
Yeah.
Not Pharrell. Not Will Ferrell, but if a Pharrell animal. God damn it. Now I'm all over the place. Yeah. If any kind of feral animal bites you in New York City or the surrounding Jersey area as well. Sure. Then yeah. You're probably going to
I wasn't
rabies.
Sure if rabies was still a thing.
It is in the movies. When I want to make fun of it. Something like that. Yeah. So he has this montage of him getting to the city, which I looked up. Apparently, this was the last day of shooting. A principal photography was Will Ferrell, Jon Favreau, and a camera person went around New York City and was just doing random things. And the
It wasn't like a cordoned off street or anything. He was just running around.
They were just doing it. And they said sometimes they would ask for permission and then do something. Others, they would do something and then ask for permission. They talked about paying him. I'm like, did they just have like $300 cash or something? Like get these people to sign it. But the Santa or the guy that looks like Santa crossing the street.
Oh,
you remember that one?
Yeah.
That guy didn't know it. That was random. So
I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess afterwards they asked him, hey, you know, put you in a movie or whatever. And he said, okay.
I love that bit because I remember when I was very young, we used to holiday in Portugal quite a lot because my nan lived there. And we went to Portugal one Christmas time. And it was the summertime. Sorry, I'm wrong. And I saw a man on, I was very young, and I saw a man on the beach in like red Speedos, big, big belly. And he looked like Santa. So he had long white hair, big white bushy beard. And I was like, Mom, like, is that Santa? And like my parents fully convinced me that it was Santa Claus on his holidays in Portugal for the summer, taking a break before he had to go back and do Christmas, the Christmas shift. And I was like, I remember it so clearly in my head, just being like, oh, I'm on the beach with Santa. So I was so curious when I saw that part of the montage as to whether that was a placed actor or not, because you can just imagine someone in New York just looks like Santa going around in the red tracksuit. It's brilliant.
So you didn't go up to Beach Santa?
No, I was terrified.
Oh, okay.
Very, very shy. Very shy.
Did your parents say, hey, if you go talk to him, though, he's going to put you on the naughty list?
Imagine this.
That'd keep you away.
Crying on the beach.
Oh, Santa.
He's probably some Portuguese man. He wouldn't have understood me anyway.
But yeah, I was, whatever. I was going to do some like Eastern European sounding thing, but I'm like, no, that's not Portugal.
That's not it.
Wouldn't even know what to do. Buddy goes to the Empire State Building and he hits all the buttons on the way up.
I love that bit.
Fucking Jamal.
It looks like a Christmas tree.
Dude, what a fucking idiot. I'm telling you, already I'm just like, dude, I don't even live in the big city like that. But just the thought of you just trying to fucking go to your work. You've just been beaten down by everything. You got to go on like the 60-some-odd floor or whatever. This asshat hits every fucking one all the way up to like 100.
I also feel like that is not how a New Yorker would react. I feel like he would have got his ass handed to him if somebody did that.
If it was probably in a normal one, 100%. But this is also like a guy working in the Empire State Building.
True. It's a classy establishment.
Again, if it would have been some fucking greaseball Italian delivering pizza on a normal thing, then he might get his ass beat. But, you know, maybe not there. Yeah, so this is the previously mentioned Walter Hobbs, children's book publisher, who wants to ship this book with two pages missing, including apparently the conclusion.
Yep. The children everywhere, Christmas ruined.
Yeah, and he's like, it's so bad that no one's going to give a shit. They just want to look at the pictures. Like, wow, what did it take pride in your job, buddy?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do. He is so negative and he's so awful. But you're right. It's kind of the perfect opposite to Buddy the Elf, who is completely annoying and over the top.
Yeah. And it's just, again, this is just generic. A lot of this stuff's going to be very generic. And I know it's a kids movie and that's how it works. But this is generic businessman who's just so busy, doesn't have time for his kids.
That's sad.
Yeah. For his age appropriate wife, even though she's like 15 years, no, 20 years, she's about 12 years younger than him. And then their son. They had these kids very late. Kid very late. I kept looking.
Yeah,
he seems
quite young. What age do you reckon he is? I don't know about.
I looked it up. I think he died. James Caan, I think, died at 82 last year. And so he would have been like 62 or 63 when this came out.
Okay.
And Mary Steenburgen, the great Mary Steenburgen, was 50 when this came out. And that kid looks like he's what, like 12?
Yeah, I was thinking he was like 12.
Yeah. It's interesting like to do that. I mean, I'm not a poster or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, my dad was 36. When I was born, but it was just, you don't ever really see that. I can't think of any other movie where you have two older people with a much younger kid without that being the plot point. Like if he was 62 and rich and she was 35 and had a 10, 12 year old kid, that would make sense in that. But I just don't ever remember having it and not being a plot point.
I guess they needed him to be old enough to have a 30 year old child, but then they needed like a child in the film as well.
Yeah. And they got James Caan.
And Mary Steenburgen also plays Will Ferrell's mom in Step Brothers.
She does, yes. Yeah, she's like kind of a stepmom here. And then the actual mom.
So I love the theories where it's like, I love the theories where it's like Walter dies and young Michael goes off to uni.
Oh my God.
And Emily, who's Mary Steenburgen, takes more of a more custody of Buddy the Elf and raises him to be whatever his character's name is in Step Brothers.
So, Brennan, so you're telling me that Buddy the Elf goes from this and in 5 years becomes Brennan from Step Brothers?
I think that's the theory, yeah.
In 5 short years, I think that's the thing I've always used. Like Step Brothers, Twilight, I think Hangover were all 2008. So I'm always like, what? I'm always like, that was 15 years ago. Actually, Hangover, I think was 2009. I think Hangover was 2009. But either way, like Twilight and Step Brothers are 2008. I'm like, those movies are 15 years old.
Oof.
And then that's instantly anybody over the age of like 30 or around that, even like that is just, they just instantly like collapse and faint.
I'm done with today.
You'd be like, no, that's not, oh, good God. They're done. Yeah, so Buddy sings this very weird song before name-dropping Susan Wells, and security throws his ass out. Not quite New York style, because I think they would have thrown him into traffic, maybe if it would have gotten more into there. But with these security guards, the one on the right who's throwing him out is Will Ferrell's brother.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, the tall one, shockingly.
Oh, I noticed as well there was another family casting in the film.
Who? No.
For a very short part, Max Favreau, son of John Favreau, plays young Buddy in the one of the first montages.
Oh, okay. Max is the name of the kid too, right?
Yes.
That's the name of the kid?
That's Michael.
Michael. Okay, of course. Okay, of course. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that nepotism. There you go.
There we go. Right.
So he tells him to go to Gimbel's, and yeah. As he goes to this store, there's not too many times I actually laughed at this movie, but this caught me off guard. Him getting trucked by the cab. Oh, I chortled at that.
It was so funny because it's so unexpected. Yes. And the way it's not like a proper, he just gets kind of knocked and then he's fine. It's not super dramatic. It's a very, very light shunt. It caught me off guard as well. I loved that bit
because the way it was shot was just from behind, and it's very much where you can see the building and he's just walking like normal. It's like, okay, we're just gonna see him walk there, and then don't comes out of the comes out of the frame just to kind of hit him there. I was like, okay,
it's that, almost like it was unscripted.
Yeah, as if it was,
if they
accidental.
Said it was unscripted, I would have believed them because it was so random.
He actually almost got hit. Will Ferrell just playing in traffic and almost got hit. All right, so this fish out of water nonsense, which is what this is. This whole thing is just fish out of water constantly. Very easy thing to do. The shenanigans and buffoonery continues as this escalator stops him dead in his tracks. And I don't know what it is, but him just doing like almost the splits on the escalator, just it does kind of get me. And I just think, oh, is he going to get? I just could feel my groin tearing.
Yeah, I hate escalators at the best of times, and just the thought of not knowing what they do and then not thinking to just copy the person in front of you.
Yes, and just like, dude, they're walking and standing on it.
Just stand still
and walk up it. But again, as we talked about, Buddy's a goddamn moron, so he's not going to do it. All right, biggest piece of fantasy here, though. If you're talking about how a New Yorker acts, Buddy, he's going to the bathroom and then looks over the bathroom stall here and doesn't get his ass kicked.
Yeah, I feel like he gets away with murder in this film.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything to him.
No, but you look over a stall at somebody, Buddy, yeah, no pun intended, you're in for a fucking fight.
And when he's in the bathroom when she's in the shower.
Yeah,
like,
but
no.
Yeah, but he doesn't like... He doesn't.
Yeah, he's not peering.
Yeah, he doesn't swipe the curtain open and be like, "You have a great voice." You know, it's like a fucking child. All right, so he goes to Gimbel's, and fun bit of trivia here because we have Wanda, played by Faison Love. This dude's awesome. Gives the best fucking reactions in this movie. His name is Wanda.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And the name tag is Wanda. The reason being is the actress Wanda Sykes was cast in this role but couldn't do it. So when Faison Love got it, he insisted on it still being the name and wearing the name tag.
That's nice. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I guess she backed out at the last minute or something like that. But yeah, Faison Love, in this fucking look that he gives, because he says, you know, in there, the Santa's coming, and he screams it, and then Wanda just peers back and just staring him, just deadpan, and continues saying, all the lines and everything like that while just looking at him as he's going crazy. Oh, I love it. That was brilliant, brilliant acting there.
His reactions are probably the most realistic. Like, there's just the what the fuck are you doing? Who, like, because the best bit for me is when he catches him downstairs in the wrong department. He's like, come here, come here. I said, you're supposed to be, doesn't ask any questions, just gets him back upstairs. And then he's like, wait, what the fuck is going on? He's probably the most relatable character, I think.
Yes, and just the no singing down here. Yeah, we sing at the North Pole. No, you don't. No, we don't. And just, he's not getting mad. He's not like, can you believe this guy? He's just looking at him like, Santa's going to be here, as he's screaming. And just like, I cannot believe this shit.
This is my job. Yeah
this is
he just wants to go home.
Like, I'm a manager. I'm just trying not to get fired, because then Buddy goes over the top with those decorations. He's like, someone's gunning for my job.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. All right. So we are also introduced to Jovi, weird fucking name, Jovi, played by Zooey Deschanel, who is not Bones. This is the other not Bones. This is not Bones. Her sister plays a character named Bones.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the TV show Bones.
Oh, I just know her, obviously, from New Girl and
Never Seen
Days
it.
Of Summer. Never seen New Girl?
Never seen it. Is it good?
I've never finished it, but it's a very easy watch, but also quite heartfelt in moments. It's got a great friends to lovers story arc, which is just, you know, really
I should say I've seen some episodes, and it's situational comedy.
Yeah.
Sure. And it was her big thing, was this like quirky, not like other girl shtick. I just can't. And maybe back in when that show came out, like the mid aughts or whatever, maybe it was something else. But I just cannot stand that now. Anyway,
her and New Girl is okay, but 500 Days of Summer is infuriating. Like, she is just insufferable and annoying. And the main lead guy is obsessed with her. I just think, no.
Is that Summer, who is not Tom Holland, Zac Efron. Fuck, who is that? It's not Avram Grant, the former Chelsea manager.
Do you want to guess?
Yeah, no, who is it? It's driving me crazy. This is bad.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Who else is in that? Was there? Fuck, I might be thinking a different movie.
Oh,
I might be thinking a different movie.
The first. I searched 500 Days of Summer to get the cast, and the first search thing is, what was the actual point of 500 Days of Summer?
It's when you know it's a good movie.
It's so frustrating, that whole film.
It's when you know it's good. All right, she wants to sing, but can't because she's not confident in there, and I bet this fucking dipshit from the North Pole can convince her to do it.
I know. Why does she like Buddy?
Dude, I don't know. She serves no fucking purpose in this movie other than being a woman that's not a mom or a
wife. A love interest for some reason.
Fucking love interest. Why does Buddy need a love interest?
I feel like it's a bit weird.
It's really weird because I get where, unless you were going to make her to be this ultra confident, super hot, who always gets hits on by like douchebag guys or just by everybody, and Buddy seems to actually like her for what she is and like seeing. I get that. But again, she's playing some fucking quirky. She's probably in the script, she's probably like frumpy and ugly.
Yes. Yeah.
But of course they have fucking Zooey Deschanel in there. That's the only reason I can think of it, other than every fucking movie, especially seemingly from the 80s to the 2000s, just needed a fucking love interest.
Yeah. I find it not very like believable, because he's meant to be, he's kind of portrayed as this like childlike man child, and then all of a sudden he wants to like go on dates and like
all of a sudden he's
have
in
this
love
adult relationship, and I'm like, this is weird.
Yes, it's like, and I also saw that was also influenced heavily by the movie Big, and I'm, oh, we talked about Big and you haven't seen that
Did
movie
we? No,
yes.
I haven't.
You know what it is though, right? Tom Hanks from the 80s.
No, I don't.
Tom Hanks plays a kid. I want to say he's probably about the same age like Max, maybe like 12 or 13. He wishes to be big. So in the morning, he wakes up in Tom Hanks' body, but he still has the mentality of a kid. So it's like a man-child in the 80s originally doing that. But it makes sense of that because he's a fucking 13-year-old kid in puberty. So obviously, he's going to be going fucking crazy. I have no idea why I did that motion right there. Wow. That might be one.
Whoa.
That might be something to put in there. Be a good gif of me being like, ugh. Yeah. So for some reason, I put my hands in front like I had a head and then gyrated wildly.
Whilst
I was doing that, I did not even mean for that to do, but apparently that's probably what 13-year-old kids and 30-something-year-old bodies would want to do because they couldn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. Again, cough syrup, blaming the cough syrup. what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, because he was a kid, it made sense that he would want to like be with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, whatever, we're picking apart a stupid fucking movie.
I know, I'm thinking about, too much about it. I'm trying
to find logic in that to
I
do
I
want to
say that I did enjoy this film, but okay. Whenever we sit down and talk about things, I'm like, hold on a second, that's
wait
weird.
A minute. No, this will be good for the tier ratings because we've been on the same page a lot over the past like month or two, and I think we're going to diverge.
Okay.
I think we're going to diverge here if people can't tell. All right, so as I mentioned before, Walter is, of course, the workaholic dad, and this little shithead kid played by a fucking walking meatball. Last week I said in the Home Alone episode that this driver was pulled out of a Wrigley Field dumpster. Well, this fucking kid was conceived in the back alley of Yankee Stadium.
Who? Michael?
This fucking kid, yes. He's just so Italian, New York. He's got a fucking he's got a jet shirt on. Oh, my God. I can't. All these, like, New York Italian kids are just so fucking attitudinal.
Mm-hmm.
They need
all
to be,
attitude with mom and dad.
Dude, they need to be brought down a peg. Some
attitude with mom, I'm not on board with.
Mm-mm.
Don't give mom attitude.
It's because she doesn't look like an Italian mom.
This
kid's Italian because Jimmy Kahn's from the Bronx.
Oh.
Playing from it there. So going back to Yankee Stadium from the Bronx, that's what he did. Yeah, so somehow them two, banged in the back alley of Yankee Stadium, and out came this fucking calzone, this fucking human calzone coming in there. Let's see if I can think of any other Italian foods to call him later.
Mamma mia.
Mamma mia. Much better movie. All right, so Santa, the mall Santa is there, played by Artie Lang. There's no way you know who this is.
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't. Sorry.
He was a big sidekick of Norm MacDonald, R.I.P., in a legit moment of silence for the great Norm MacDonald. He was a sidekick of him in the 90s. Howard Stern. He was on the Howard Stern show, like the radio show.
Okay.
Was kind of on there. Funny dude. Again, very New Jersey. If that other guy was New York, this dude's just New Jersey as it gets.
We need to watch some more British films so I can get some niche British actors who you've never heard of.
Hey, Love Actually.
Well, yeah, true.
That had those big ones. Yeah, for real. He sits on a throne of lies, and Buddy rips his beard off, starting a brawl, sure to traumatize all of these children watching.
I love that he thinks he's doing the right things. He's like, no, this guy's lying. Don't tell him anything. Exposes him.
I also love that he's just like lording over him, like bent over staring at him right next to these kids. And no one's just like, hey, buddy, you want to step back? Like,
back off a little bit. Yeah.
Like, or Santa's just like, hey, can you give me a second? And then what's funny
explains
is
the situation.
Well, what's funny is he's like, you're not Santa. You smell of cheese and meat or whatever it is. Buddy then rips the beard off and then looks wholly shocked that it in actuality wasn't Santa.
You're right. Yeah, you were exactly right.
Like, he is just incensed that somebody would be impersonating,
yes,
Santa there. Have you seen those videos of parents filming where they set up Santa coming in to meet the children, and then a Grinch comes in and like attacks Santa and steals the gifts? Have you seen those?
I've seen a couple. I've seen one. Which just looks so traumatizing. It didn't have Santa in it, but the kids were expecting Santa to come in. And then the Grinch comes in and just sneaks in and steals all the presents. And the kids are literally traumatized, screaming, crying, throwing up. And it's just, I feel awful for them.
There's one where the Santa comes down the stairs. And, oh, everybody, yay. And these kids are, I don't know, 3 or 4? Like, maybe.
Proper children.
Yes, not like 7, 8-year-olds. Like, children that are just, you know, walking or whatever. Like,
fully
that.
Believing the whole
million.
Spiel. Yeah.
And they're like, yay. And then you just see the Grinch storm down the stairs, like, assaults a parent. Like, one guy tries to stop him. The guy, like, hits him, throws him out of the way. Goes up to Santa and again starts like hitting him, trying to steal the toys. Kids are screaming. They're jumping behind this piano and jumping behind the table and chairs, like hands on their faces. I'm like, this is funny to us, but oh my God, you won't be able to tell them, oh, we're just kidding. Look, it's all this, because they don't fucking know that they believe that's Santa and they believe that's the Grinch.
Exactly. They believe that you've just been beat up by the Grinch and all their presents are gone. That's probably what they're most worried about, is that all their presents are gone.
Dude, this one, this dude was like, looked like he was fucking up Santa. Like, he was like wailing on him. And the parents too. So one of them might be like, oh, that's my dad.
Yeah, exactly. It's like mom and dad and Santa.
Then he started feeling up one of the mom. No, okay, that might be a little too that might be a little bit too much. Yeah. The guy got a little into it. And they're like, "Whoa, that wasn't part of it."
Wait,
like,
whoa, we didn't plan for this.
The guy's like, "I'm method, and so I'm gonna assault Santa, and I'm just gonna feel up these moms." Like, whoa, okay, that's
going. Children really is Christmas is ruined. Everyone, there's no coming back from this.
No, and I want to ask those kids, like, hey,
where are they now?
Yes, like, when did you find out about it? Were you okay? Was Christmas forever ruined? I don't know. So just make sure y'all check those out. I'll try to put some.
Let's find the best ones.
Of in the Discord. All right, Buddy gets arrested. I don't remember what for. Oh, was it because he kept going in the building?
He gets arrested for the big fight that he has with Santa.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, Deb.
Okay. Well, Santa, not Banter. The real Santa.
Spoiler alert, kids out there. Walter bails him out and takes him to a doctor, played by the director, Jon Favreau, who says that he is definitely his son.
Yeah, he gets a DNA test. Results come back immediately. Ding, ding, ding. He is your child. You are the father.
Yeah, that's some Holly. Yeah, they didn't have to go on Maury.
So he takes him home.
So he takes him home because that's just what you do. He's honorable. He's an honorable guy, though. I'll give him that.
What was the plan if he wasn't his son? Just kick
him out. Oh, yeah. It just throw him to fucking Fifth Avenue or whatever with the rest of the unsheltered. People there. Yeah. I guess they didn't have to worry about that. All right. Buddy is a case of walking diabetes as elves stick to the four main food groups. Candy canes, candy corns, which is Halloween. I don't like the inclusion of candy corns. Like, that's a Halloween thing.
What is candy corn?
The little things that are like in a triangle that are red, yellow, brown, and white.
I don't think I know what that is.
Yeah, it's probably an American thing. Eat them with peanuts and it tastes like a payday. There's your life hack for the day. And then the fourth one is syrup.
Oh, I think I'm an elf.
You don't, what, all you eat is candy. No, did you see what he ate? Nobody eats this.
I think I could have syrup on my spaghetti.
Are you,
Oh yeah.
No. You ever had chicken and waffles? Yeah.
No, but I think chicken waffle with syrup sounds fucking awesome.
Yes, that is my like all-time favorite meal.
My favorite bad breakfast is a bagel, cream cheese, the crispiest bacon you can find, and syrup on top.
Damn. Cream cheese?
Oh my God.
Cream cheese and syrup?
I'm going to have that on Sunday.
Oh my God. You had me with... Yeah, you had me with the bagel and cream cheese
and bacon. Okay, that's like your beginner. But if you want to kick it up a notch, put some maple syrup on there.
Interesting. Is that a thing? Is that like somewhere?
No.
Did you create that?
I think I might have merged because Canadians do the bacon and syrup thing, right?
Of course, everybody. Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah.
And then I did cream cheese bagel with bacon. And I'm like, hold on a second. Two nice things, merge them together. One extra nice thing.
A mashup. I'll try that sometime. But okay. I'll try that sometime. But yeah, Buddy's just a fucking man child. And this is where it really starts to grate on me. You know, I want to shake him like a British nanny did back in the 90s. Walter's book, however, is tanking hard. And his boss will be back on Christmas Eve, of course, because he doesn't give a shit about his family if they even exist.
Nope.
To talk about the new book for the first quarter.
Yeah, and, you know, Walter doesn't even try and get out of the Christmas Eve. He's like, Christmas Eve? Okay.
Well, he literally goes, yeah, that's Christmas Eve. And? He's like, we're looking to host you. Yeah, he doesn't do it. Beating down a little manager here. All right, so here we go. Buddy, again, goes and stalks the kid, follows him.
Oh, at school. Shows up at school. That's weird.
Yeah, shows up at school, kind of tracks him down, follows him through. I assume it's Central Park or some kind of park. Asks him God knows too many questions. And what the hell is this ambush? It's like the German 3rd SS Panzer Division up against the British Matildas at the Battle of Arras or something. Is that what you thought too? Did you have that down?
Honestly, that's in my notes. I wrote that.
Okay, I was deciding either that or the 1st SS Panzer Corps through the Ardennes.
Yes.
I think it might be the more Ardennes because it's more forest, do you think?
I was thinking more like something that happened in Baldur's Gate today.
Did you get ambushed?
Got ambushed by pug bear.
Oh, the bugbear.
Bugbear.
Wait, the ambush?
He had the high ground, man.
Oh.
I couldn't get him.
Did you die?
No, I got him.
Oh, you got him.
But it took a few turns.
But he did not have the Obi-Wan high ground.
No, not that good of a high ground. But he had a good shot on me for a while.
The bugbear. The bugbear. Yes. Yep. So then we see that Buddy is a very good pitcher and can throw things very accurately and very, very quickly. I don't know. Don't know how he learned this. Where did this superhuman thing come from? Superpower?
I don't know. I don't know. What he lacks in intelligence, I guess he gains in
agility and
super
dexterity.
Speed and strength. Ooh. Maybe we'll circle back to this later.
What are we going to put him in later? All right, so Buddy's a dipshit. This is where I have where he lunges for that phone. And he deserves to be reprimanded like a fucking child. If a kid does this, if you take your kid to the office and he has the audacity to answer your phone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, throw this kid out the window.
Oh.
No?
Maybe put him in timeout.
Time out the window.
Bump.
Okay. All right. So Buddy does get sent to the mailroom. He gets exiled, I should say.
He does, yeah.
To the mailroom. And this idiot is definitely going to stick his dick up these fucking hydraulic things, isn't he? Like, he kept doing it. And I'm like,
I don't think Buddy the Elf would think to do that.
I bet he does.
And some of the other people in that room will.
After he talks to Jovi a bit more, he'll be like, what's going on in my pants down there? Oh, I better stick it in this shaft. I would never, though.
No, you would not think that.
No. He does.
Some of the people in this mill room they look like criminals.
And yet they kind of make a joke of that. Everyone wants to hurt me. That was funny. That was a funny line when he's like, this isn't like the North Pole. It's something, something, and everyone looks like they want to hurt me. Yeah. Very funny thing that makes sense after you read it is the guy that he's talking to that he gets drunk. Well, he acts like he's high, but he's actually drunk.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't what happens when you get drunk.
Yeah, the guy's name is like something Atchison. I can't remember if it was Matt or something like that. This guy was cast in some role. I can't remember what it was, but it got cut or whatever. And so they put him into here because they liked him. Did you pick up that he says he's 26 years old?
Yes. Okay. I was like, excuse me?
So here's the thing. And I'm glad that because I looked at 26. I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. The guy thinks he's 26 or says he is, whatever. Jon Favreau got a note from the studio saying, hey, this guy doesn't look 26. And he sent a note back basically going, yeah, that's the joke. That's the joke. Is he says he's 26, but he's fucking male. He's drunk. Like, he's either crazy or he's lost. But I just love that he just didn't try. He was like, yeah, that's what makes it funny. That's the joke. Yes.
Exactly.
Suits.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny. They're like, there's a slight problem here,
it says
John.
He's 26. He doesn't look 26.
He looks about 40. Like, what is the problem here? And he's just like, yeah, duh.
Yeah, no,
duh. That's a joke.
Yeah. So Buddy apparently again gets high. He gets drunk or whatever. He thinks it's syrup, but he can't tell because, again, going back to the eighth time I've said this, he's a fucking idiot. He gets high as a kite, starts dancing like a Soviet soldier on May Day. What is with this? Like, he's going down and doing like the. Yes. I'm just
and you
like,
can what? Tell that he's being like hoisted up by something. Yes. He's definitely not doing that normally.
He's doing the leg kicks. And I'm like, yes, this is the Soviet dancing that they
Where
used to
do. Where
did
he learn this?
Where did he learn? Did he like help? Because if he's at 30 at this time, was that orphanage from the fucking Soviet Union? Like, is it even though that
it's
woman
in his DNA?
Dance like this on May Day. I lose Russian accents. The capitalists got me. All right, so yeah, Zooey Deschanel's in this movie for some reason. She comes back. Is this where they went on a date? I just could not.
Yeah,
fucking care
they
less.
Went on a date, and
he gets horny.
He shows her a big Christmas tree, and she goes, "I'll show you a big Christmas tree." And then they go ice skating and they kiss.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, sorry, that's it.
Oh, okay. Well, that description was about as interesting as it was in the movie. So, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I just like, oh, did something happen in there? No,
that was
okay.
The joke.
That was the joke. Nothing in there. Anytime something doesn't work, go. That was the joke.
That was the joke. That was Jon Favreau.
All right, so Miles Finch is brought in, and as we talked about before, hello, baby Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, he's so young here.
He's so young, but he's full of that Tyrion vigor that we'd go to see. But yeah, Buddy calls him an elf. And even though I'd seen this before, him doing it, I cringed up. Like, that's just...
I cringed when his like Buddy's face lights up and you're like, oh, I know what's coming here. Okay. And it takes a wee while for him to say it. And then you just like forehead slap, like, no, please don't say it again. And obviously, Buddy is so naive. And there's actually a part in the earlier film where it says like an elf cannot tell a lie. So I think they assume that everybody else cannot tell a lie also. So when Peter Dinklage's character is like, say I'm an elf again, he's like, you're an elf.
You're so an stupid. Elf. So Peter Dinklage gets to do as a character what he'd probably like to do in real life and beat the shit out of people who call him that. And at the end, when he storms out, Buddy calls him a South Pole elf. And I'm like, is that racist?
What do you mean by that?
He must be a South Pole elf. I was like, even they have racism and some kind of discrimination.
Why can't we have a nice, happy life?
He is a capitalist. He is more American and Western than we think. This is where Walter yells for him to get out of his life.
Disowns him.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that he's a grown man. This is not a child.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is. I didn't like the way Walter treated him here. I
mean, I guess the thing is where he never tried to discipline him before, but I don't
know.
They've
never tried to help him adjust, and I understand that they they don't believe what he's saying is true. Obviously, they think he's having
then
some
get
kind
him
of,
to a fucking asylum.
Don't let him wander around your office.
Get him to a goddamn psychiatrist.
A therapist, yes.
Something in there to be like, yo, something is wrong with this guy. Get that brain scanned to see that instead of just being like, oh, yeah, he's cutesy and special.
Bring him to work for the day and see what happens.
Yeah, so here's the thing, too. So Buddy writes this note, basically not a suicide note. When he started doing it, I was like, how dark is this movie going to get?
It's my 13th reason.
Now you're up my alley. He apologizes for putting 11 cookies in the VCR. And thing is, like, you still have this rich-ass motherfucker doesn't have a DVD player by 2003. So,
Did DVDs become a thing? I can't remember.
They started in the late 90s. They were stupid expensive, but we had a DVD player by the time I graduated. We had a DVD player by 2002.
Yeah. There was a crossover for a long period where you had both.
That's true. Okay,
time.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Yeah, before you phased out the VCR.
True. You're all right about that. But I'm bearing the lead. Hey, idiot, don't put 12 cookies in the goddamn VCR.
How does he put 12 in there?
Because he is the dumbest idiot.
You're giving me your cough.
Dude, I know. Like, through there. It's just stuff like that, that it's like, why? Oh, that's just so cute. He just put 11. Why would you put cookies in there? How fucking stupid are you? Like, did he think it was a jar?
The reason?
I'm getting worked up. I said I wasn't going to go on any rant, and I said I wasn't going to get worked up. I'm just going to, okay, no, we're cool. We're all cool here. We're all
got
having
the finale
fun.
To get through.
We're all having fun. All right. Buddy runs away and Walter tails off his bus. Bus? Maybe he's not taking the bus. Walter Walter tails off his boss.
His with boss.
The, his boss.
He
with
says,
the,
get lost.
Get lost with the help from his little rigatoni of a kid, who, of course, as I mentioned earlier, is wearing a fucking Jets shirt that's and a coat that's three sizes too big. This kid, I don't like New York kids. I might dislike New York children more than British children.
To say about British children?
Every time I talk about British children.
No, you love them.
No, I don't. We talked about that train back there with the little colic kid. Just coughing. Mommy's got Shimoa. Is this the train yet, mommy? Is it a biscuit?
That's the way they cough. Dude, there's their chung sticking out.
I wanted the train to crash just so that fucking kid. No, you got me. That's why we'll never watch Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I just little Lucy Pervy. It's Lucy
See
Pervy.
See Peter and Susan.
No, I will rage at those goddamn children.
Oh, they're so good.
I will be rooting for the Germans blitzing. You will make
the Ice Queen.
You will make me root for the I already root for the Japanese during Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor because that movie's so bad. That's going to have me rooting for the goddamn Germans. I'm going to have to give it. You never want to hand it to the Nazis, but I may have to hand it to them for trying to hit those goddamn British kids. All right. We are flying off the rails here. Oh, here we go. Here's the finale in here. Santa's sleigh crashes and Walter's in the holiday spirit. Okay. Line of the fucking movie right here. He calls Buddy chemically imbalanced.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Thank
He's
you.
Finally addressing
Thank
it.
You.
Finally.
Yes. Thank you for finally
chemically
saying.
Imbalanced is ridiculous, though. That's his way of putting it.
That's his way of being like, he's obviously mentally ill in some form. He's chemically imbalanced. God.
And yeah, even at this point, he still doesn't believe the hype around the backstory.
So that line took it up a tier rating for me right there. I had to bump it up. I watched this movie. I should have said that to a movie this old. I only watched this movie for the first time. I did not watch this when I was 19 when it came out. I watched this maybe 5, 6, 7-ish years ago. Maybe. God, time. Who fucking cares? Oh, my God. It's 2024 in like 2 weeks. No, it was maybe. Well, I was an adult, obviously. And I'd seen Lord of the Rings. These Central Park Rangers are called into action. And there's so many things that I want to talk about with this. First one is they can be a little too gung-ho with their tactics. Are these special NYPD to only brutalize people in Central Park? Like, they've really just been like, no, we get Central Park.
Yeah, that's it. Those four horses just stay there. And that's funny. I didn't draw the Lord of the Rings comparison, but I actually have
the fucking
Lord of
Nazgul.
Rings. Yeah, they are. They are completely. I have Lord of the Rings in my notes earlier, just with the forced perspective that they use film. They use it so much. And he said that they took a lot of... when did Lord of the Rings come out?
2 years before this. It's New Line Cinema.
Okay,
it's
so he says, they said that he took a lot of inspiration from the Lord of the Rings and how they did their forced perspective. And there's a lot of shots that were only like 10 seconds long. And they do a whole scene set up with like tables in the background and everything. And it looks... You wouldn't even think twice when you look at it, but when slightly change the angle, you can see all that's going on. They're obviously very inspired by Lord of the Rings with the Nazgul as well.
Like, it was dead on as soon as I saw it. I was like, how did I not pick that up?
Yeah,
when
same.
I first watched it. Yeah, and so these fucking Nazgul-ass rangers,
they're terrifying,
strike fear into the heart of Santa. They ride into battle as fucking little lasagnas over there trying to get people to believe in Santa, reading off their fucking wishes here. The little girl in there, oh, like that. If somebody would have said to him, like, oh, okay, it's kind of lame. Of course, the big tough guy asked for like a day at the spa or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. And they show him, and
that mustn't be me. Aww.
I was like, oh, ha ha. But no, if he would have said that, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of lame. He goes, must be another so and so, and says the name. And I was like, okay, that kind of got me. Because he was like, huh, I'm not, da, 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 da. I don't know, the way it is, that kind of got me into it. That was a half chortle that came out.
Mm-hmm. And then the poor woman, the news reporter, he's like, you want your boyfriend to settle down and stop messing you around. I was like, oh, that one's going to hurt.
A Tiffany's engagement
ring. Yes,
and she's like, no, cut off the... I love how the reporter's
like, cut, cut, cut.
And then the producer's like, what the fuck? No, I only say cut. Get that thing back on there. Like, saying, what the hell's going on? Yeah, so he's trying to do all that. Buddy is out there yelling ACAB at these fucking cops trying to hold off the Rangers. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, just turned Buddy into an ACAB guy. And they're trying to fix Santa's engine. And initially, in the initial script, they had the regular police chasing Buddy in a shootout where Buddy is shooting back at them.
With what?
With apparently
Santa carry a gun?
A gun full of lollipops and hopes. And no, they said, but again, I think it was the whole thing that they wanted to be more cynical in PG-13.
Yeah.
It would have established something. Because again, it's New York City, you know, it's like there's fucking guns there. And I think they're banned. I don't think you can actually have like handguns or something along those things where they can ban them, and there's something where the Second Amendment doesn't apply in like big cities like that. I don't know. Ask somebody from New York. Which may be next week's episode. Doop, 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 doop. All right, so Santa escapes. That's it. Did you have anything else before the end? This kind of thing I was just really going towards.
Not
anything
really,
else with the chase?
To be honest. No.
Okay.
It was just the horses that are terrifying was the main thing for me.
God, I just can't look at the notes, Buddy yelling ACAB. I just think of him turning and just being anti-police. That's cracking me up, cracking my own dumb self up. So Santa escapes. Walter starts his own publishing company where they're going to write
the
book.
You didn't sing about Jovi singing.
What about it?
That was just a beautiful moment.
Oh, yeah, sure. She sang earlier too, which is a famous thing. Their duet, yeah. I didn't mention that.
Oh, yes, in the shower.
Yeah, so she's singing here. Her role was expanded, I think, singing-wise when she got the job. The studio wanted Katie Holmes.
Oh. I'm
gonna
surprised by that.
Let that hang. Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, whoa. Lucy was in such shock. Her mouth was just open, and I thought it froze. Do that. But no, it ended up being Zooey Deschanel. And when she could actually sing, they added her singing more.
She has a really unique accent voice. It almost sounds like old Hollywood.
You think she has that old mid-Atlantic?
Yeah, there's something not quite right. Okay.
You think
I
sounds like Jimmy Stewart? Yeah, French house here. She's going this way. I'm Zooey Deschanel.
I don't know if that's her voice or if she's doing a voice for this film, but her voice is just something.
It's so nonchalant, is what it is. Where it's not, she's not deadpan, but it's almost like disinterested.
Mm-hmm. And when she sings, she definitely has more of like a old school Hollywood voice, I thought.
Yeah, I would say not deep, but it's kind of deeper of what you would think. Yeah, raspy, I guess, would be it. But not like Jennifer Lawrence raspy.
No.
Well, we sound like some cunning linguists, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. So Buddy and Jovi bang each other's brains out until a little stupid human elf comes out. And thank Christ, we were not subjected to a sequel.
Yeah, I think that was the right decision to not make a sequel.
That was it. Although $29 million, Will Ferrell, like, you must have been really good with your money.
I mean, he's got a lot of films. He's had a lot of big films.
Yeah, but still, and I hearken it back to people do it with like athletes when they're just like, oh, it's usually a quarterback because quarterback is so thin and shallow. And they're just like, oh, they're not very good. Why would they come back? And I know one quarterback said like, it's $8 million.
Yeah.
They're like, I only have, you know, up until I'm like 35 years old to make money to last me throughout, even with the pension and all that they can have.
Yeah.
It's like, it's $8 million.
More than some people will make, you know, in their
lifetime. Well, of course. And I know it's all relative, but it's not like you're coming back for like a million. Like it's like $8 to $10 million. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it does in the sense, but I know something like James Caan talked about. He wanted a sequel because he wanted finally to be a part of like a franchise because that's where the money's at. Yeah. So for him, it's like my kids will then be super set up. And I do have to wonder. Jimmy Caan, you've been acting regularly since like the 70s, including throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s, being at least like a top 3 to top 5 billed person. What are you doing with your money by the mid 2000s that your kids aren't set? I get it if it's one of those, my kids' kids and everything like that. But I'm saying like Will Ferrell could do that. He could put down, it's artistic honesty, I guess you want to call it there, not creativity. Yeah. Honesty if you want to do it, because it's $29 million, dude. Like, that puts you, I don't know. It is impressive, though. Yeah.
It's like generational wealth. Yeah.
Yeah, to go in. But again, if he's been that good with his money, fucking $29 million for 6 months of work isn't worth it.
He did a little, not cameo, but like a small role in Barbie this year.
He did. He's been doing a lot of those. Lego Movie, he was at the end of Lego Movie too.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. When he pops,
he's doing little odd bits here and there.
Yes, yes. When he pops up, it can be hit or miss because he's not understated at all.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get Will Ferrell to do it. It's like Wedding Crashers, the end. Meatloaf. Mom, more meatloaf. All right, let's get the hell out of here before I fucking start going off on any other tangents in there. All right, so that's Elf 2003. Let's get to the first thing we have in the D&D classes we talked about. We really only have one. It's really only Buddy.
Yeah.
And because at the time, especially when they get attacked with the snowballs, he regroups. I think he rages. We talked about that.
And for
then
sure.
Just goes ham. He kind of bursts through doors. He kind of bursts through the scene in there. So we have him as Barbarian.
I think it's no question about it. It's, you know, it plays on the kind of lower intelligence side of a barbarian as well. And just using your brute strength and sometimes not thinking things through.
Yeah, no, he gets at it. He's dumb. I think of barbarians being the dumbest class, and that's what they do. Dumb but effective.
I'm taking that one personally.
Una
and Marianne, Una. My two sweet.
Una. All right, so that's the only one that we were going to do, because there's really the only character in this movie.
Yeah.
It is somewhat. All right, now we get to the tier list rankings. S is the highest, and we have A and B, which usually recommends, C and D, which are not. So I will go first. I did not, as you can tell, really care for this movie. I get it's a lot of nostalgia. I think it's fine, like, showing to a kid.
Yeah.
I just think as I get older, the whole point of movies in general, but especially movies like this, is to fucking teach lessons. And Buddy, in this sense, is a kid. So if I'm showing my kid this, I want them to put themselves in the shoes of Buddy. He's never fucking pays any consequences for what he does. He's never corrected in that sense like he needs to be. He doesn't learn a lesson. The whole thing of this is the hero's fucking journey is he leaves where everything's great. He goes to find his dad. He needs to change throughout that. He needs to become disillusioned sometime in there that he's away from the North Pole. Maybe his faith needs to be tested. And then he helps bring people back to it. Something needs to fucking happen that doesn't really happen in this. All right. So this is going to go into C for me.
I think that's a very good argument for a C tier film. For me, it sneaks up into B, probably purely because of my nostalgic attachment to it and because I just enjoy it. And, you know, if I went home at Christmas and my mum and my sister wanted to watch it, I would happily watch it again. It's just fun and silly, but I wouldn't ever want... I would never be like, oh, I really want to watch Elf, or you need to watch Elf. So that's why it doesn't go any higher for me.
So if people recommended it, though, you'd be like, yeah, put it on.
If I was at a Christmas thing and people were like, oh, let's watch Elf, I love it, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, because that's kind of what I
would never be like rooting for it.
Okay, because that's kind of what I was thinking, like, with the C is just where I'm not opposed to it. Like, I'm not going to leave the room, but I would I would give a warning to be like, I'm probably going to have some snide remarks.
Yeah. I think that's what separates us then, because I would still just enjoy it and be like, yeah, it's fine. It's fun.
But we're podcasters, so we can't help ourselves. We can do it. As soon as you say, dude, you shut the fuck up. Excuse me. I have a podcast. I have a movie podcast. And they're just like, oh, no, I'm sorry. My bad.
Sorry. Yeah.
Eventually, when we get some goddamn merch or some kind of cards or whatever, we can just fucking hold it
Here's
up like
my
our
card,
badge.
Yeah.
Like our badge to do it. All right, so yeah, that's me in the C, that's Lucy in the B. All right, so stick around after we do this little outro here. We will talk about what we're doing because holiday season is over. How about Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everybody? I don't think we've said it.
Oh, yeah, Merry fucking Christmas, you filthy animals.
I don't think
animals.
We've said that all month, actually.
Nah,
like,
I don't care.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, there you go.
No, sorry. I do care. Christmas is a very important holiday. Have a great Christmas next Monday.
And I'm going to edit that out so no one's going to hear it. And they're just going to go with you saying, I don't care. And then me just cutting straight to this.
Cancel Lucy again.
Yeah. All right. So again, email us podonthepath@gmail.com. Any comments, questions, suggestions, anything like that. Patreon.com/onthepath. Die Hard. The OG Die Hard was our Christmas or holiday movie of the month, as well as every other thing before that. Over a year's worth of stuff. Only $5 really, really helps us. And I think once we get to 25, we're going to add something in and do something a little special there. So I think we're on the cusp of it. So yeah, we will see there. Check out the Discord below, all the links, everything like that. Lucy, where can we find you?
You'll find me at Lucy J. Robin, pretty much anywhere, mainly Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, all that good stuff.
I just took way too big a drink.
And sorry, then I should have spoke more.
I'm over there, like choking in there. That's what the video is for. You just left me hanging there.
Sorry. Wasn't looking.
Yeah, you can find me in my bed here in a bit, trying to sleep this off. But usually, not Twitch. Why the fuck do I have that on there?
No, you're not.
I
on
have
Twitch.
Twitch Discord.
That
not
makes
anymore.
No sense.
Yeah, so find me on Discord. That's the main thing to do it. Very active in there with the community. So go there. All right. Christmas holiday season is over.
Done.
And while it's still December, to correspond with the Disney Plus series coming out, we are going to cover Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief with special guest, friend of the show, who has already been on here, Alyssa from Breakfast in Beauclair.
Yes, I'm so excited. We've already recorded this one, actually, haven't we? So, like,
weeks ago.
Done. Yeah, it feels like such a long time ago. Trying to get, you know, it's hard enough, Brett and I, trying to get time together. And then we add a third person in the mix. It's like, oh, another time zone, another person. So we recorded it weeks ago. It's a really fun episode. Prior to recording this, I had never heard of this franchise as a whole. It's a whole franchise of books. They had a couple of movies, didn't do great. Now they're doing a TV show. I'm looking forward. I'm going to watch it and see how it fares up against this film that we watched.
Yeah, for sure. And Alyssa is the expert that we're bringing on. She has read all the books. And she was
great. Yeah,
she's great. Very fun episode. Can't wait for y'all to hear that. And then after that, we start January's Bad Movie Month, which we will announce again at the end of next week. But until then, again, if you're listening to this before Christmas, Merry Christmas, any other holidays, if it's post-Hanukkah, which it is post-Hanukkah now, happy holidays in that sense. Anything else going that we don't know, and the new year, all that fun stuff. And until next week.